the main sort of experience I had at the Woodlesford station, when I started travelling to West Riding Pit in 1963, I used to catch the train every morning and home again on the night. So I did that for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. I used to walk down from Sullington down to Woodlesford station. Sometimes if a bit late, I had to run the last bit and cut through the Brewery fields to catch the train. So there we are. And caught the train to Altoff station and worked in the office there. Then caught the train back, which had just gone 5 o'clock. But there were always, you know, loads of people on. People out of Leeds who were teachers in Altoffs all used the train and everything. Opposite where the brewery was, there was like a shortcut, and you could go up like a footpath and over the hill. You can probably still do the same now, it's still there, and then just arrive on the platform as opposed to going to the interstation lane, having to go up there. Because I wasn't talking of minutes to spare, I was talking of seconds to spare. I could make it from here to Woodlesford station in 15 minutes. The main part was on the sort of south side of the line. They had parcels traffic and a waiting room, a big coal fire, and the station master's office and the station master's house, which is still there, just in the yard. And then on the other side of the line, it was just sort of like a waiting, you know, there were no buildings or anything. It just waited of the train. By that time, there didn't seem to be a lot of trucks in the sidings. There's one thing I remember one morning waiting for the train to go to Altoffs. There was an Alsatian walking along the side of the lines going towards Methley. And of course, the train was coming and all the people on the platform, we all froze. And the train caught up with the Alsatian. And just as it did, the Alsatian crossed the line and obviously killed the Alsatian. Then one dark night at Altoffs station, a young girl who'd been working in Leeds got off the train in Altoffs and crossed behind it onto the other line as an express was coming down. And she was killed. Remember that clearly. That would be in about 1963, something like that.
I used it as a teenager when I first went to work. I didn't use it every day, not even every week. I used it when the weather was poor and the buses didn't run properly from Swillington to Leeds. Quite a group of people would walk down from Swillington, probably 20 at a time, because we were all roughly starting work at the same time. But we didn't really know what train we were going for. We just had to walk down and hope that a train would arrive, and it usually did. And we would walk down the hill to Woodlesford station and wait there, and my uncle, who was the porter there, would always invite us into the waiting room and make the fire up and tell us how long we'd have to wait, and sometimes bring us some tea if we were lucky. He was called Stanley Pyra. That was my uncle. He didn't work there very long. He moved on to work at Methley station.
And can you remember anything then about the journey into Leeds, what that was like and what you saw on the way into Leeds?
We didn't see very much, simply because of the type of weather. It was either very foggy or very snowy. And so it was a slow journey. And we always had to make our explanations when we finally got to work as to why we were so late, and explain that we were very fortunate to be there at all, that the train had come.
Ken, what can you remember about the people on the station? Can you remember any of the characters?
Oh, there was a Mr. Swaby, wasn't there? That seems to ring a bell. And they were always there with uniforms on, you know, and the peak cap. He didn't call him Tom Swaby. He called him Mr. Swaby, the station master. He never called him Tom Swaby, and that's the position that he had there. We have unmanned station now, but you were talking probably 6, 7, 8 people worked on the station there. You know, there was the ticket clerk, there was the station master, there was a porter there, other people who were flagging the train off and all the rest of it. And say probably 8 people worked there. But just going back onto Woodlesford station, and I said 1963 was the first recollection, but I've a little bit more recollection when I worked at Water Egg. I started in 1960, and while we had a lot of road traffic for moving coal. We had a lot of rail traffic every day. On an afternoon, that shunt empty railway wagons in, ready for the following morning, for when the pit started up and the coal was coming out, and load those wagons up, ready to be pushed out into the sidings to go on the way wherever the coal was going to. They had what I call demurrage inspectors, because if a wagon came in on an afternoon and you didn't fill it the following day because of interruption in production at the pit, and it was the day after before you filled it, you had one day's demurrage to pay the railway, because that wagon, you know, was sort of basically rented out to you for 24 hours and you'd exceeded the rental period. Then when we were going back onto trains in the RAF, when I finally got a posting to RAF Newton in Nottingham, I always came home from Newark by train. But when the train pulled in, I always used to walk down to have a look what the steam train, what its name was. I remember one, Sir Nigel Gresley and others. And for what reason, I don't know. But you went to have a look. What was the train that was pulling the carriages that you were going into? And, of course, at times now you think, well, did it matter as long as it got you there? But, you know, that's the fascination that steam trains had. The steam train, a steam train was like a person. Yeah. But when Pat was on about when buses failed or because of weather or anything, 8 o'clock in the morning from Swillington to Leeds, there were 8 buses at 8 o'clock. In addition to that, there was the Barnbow bus, there was the Burton's bus, and there was the Copperworks bus. In addition to that, then at 20 minutes past 8, there were 4 buses to Leeds. So within 20 minutes, there were 12 buses. Now, just imagine if 12 buses didn't arrive because of bad weather. And as Pat said, people used to set off and walk to Woodlesford Station, knowing that if the bus couldn't make it, the train would. And they all piled into Woodlesford Station. Around 1963, Beeching got the idea that all these small stations with trains that stopped just from one short distance to another were getting in the way of the fast trains. And he saw the future of the railways having fast trains that could go from A to B, you know, sort of at maximum speed, without being interrupted. So they wanted the small stations out of the way and cut out the sort of, if you want to call it, local trains type of thing, in the belief that that buses were now being developed and that buses should be doing the local transport and leaving the railways for the fast trains, and at the same time getting rid of a lot of railway haulage, because they were basically slow trains as well, and getting in the way of the fast trains. And, of course, what he did, they were closed left, right and centre. Woodlesford was on the list, but to say, I think it probably Mr Swaby, who and see it on the wall, this big notice, we have done so many parcels, we have had so many passengers in the last 12 months, and very impressive when you looked at it. And he said, this doesn't make a case for closing Woodlesford Station, please sign here type of thing. Sort of.
So there was a petition?
Oh, there was a petition protesting about Woodlesford Station being closed, and it escaped the Act. The evidence that it was the right decision is, if you go down any working day now, you go up Station Lane, anywhere where there's a space, there's a car parked, because the car park's full in the station and people are having to park outside, which says that people will go on the train if everything fits in with it, where you can go and park your car fairly secure and get on the train. People will use it, because people are doing it. Same at Garforth and that. We only booked yesterday, the day before, to go to Edinburgh and back for the day out. Oh, there's another thing I want to tell you about Woodlesford Station. A friend of mine, his father, Harry Lee, had been a pigeon fancier from being about 14 years old to when he died at about 84 in 2001. And he'd been quite prominent in the pigeon circle. And he said that they used to send baskets of pigeons from Southampton to Woodlesford Station, and they'd say, arrive this afternoon. And they'd make the arrangement with the station staff that sort of 8 o'clock in the morning, that the station staff would open the baskets and release these pigeons, and then they would fly back to Southampton.
And do you ever remember seeing them?
I didn't see them, but my friend Peter Lee, he would probably have seen those, you know, as a small boy. And then they used to put the baskets on the train and send them back to Southampton. But at that time, within pigeon racing, all pigeons went by rail. And cattle did as well. If cattle sort of were bought at a local cattle market and for some way away, lorries were sort of just coming, you know, sort of into being. But the method of travel was by rail. All the trucks, you know, that straw in and everything and that ready. And they'd load them onto the railway. The brewery used to be where that housing estate is, just at the north side of the bridge, literally yards from the station. So a lot of the hops and everything used to come to the station and in the bags, and they'd offload them and just take them a few yards down to the brewery. And Pat's uncle, when he was sort of working at the station, part of his duties, he had to walk from Woodlesford Station towards Methley to check on something. But of course, he managed to have a call in at the brewery, just see how things were going. And they got him a glass out and poured him a pint sort of at the same time. Then he carried on his journey down to Methley and that. And the brewery and the station were sort of almost integral, sort of, because they were so close. And it was called Eshowall Brewery because there was a spring there called the Eshel Well, and the water from there was used at the brewery, Bentley's, Yorkshire Breweries. Another thing I can remember about the station is that a large parcel traffic, and if you ordered something from somewhere, a large parcel, it would come via the station, not via the post office, because at that time the post office were not equipped for handling large parcels, and the railway was the only means of transporting it. I know my mother used to make sort of rugs out of waste wool, and she used to send off to a mill at Bradford and buy a big parcel of offcuts of wool. Now, that parcel would be addressed to Mrs. Watson, care of Woodlesford Station, or with her address on care of Woodlesford Station. So it would go to Woodlesford Station, and then the truck would bring it. At that time, the post office didn't do sort of large parcels because the postman was just on his bike. That's all he brought were letters. And gradually, that railway traffic moved from the railways to the post office.